really, really pleased to be here. And I tell you, I got to be honest, I'm really humbled. Really humbled. You go to places and you want to share what's on your heart. And you don't know exactly what's going to happen, or, you know, you've got an idea, but you really want to let the Father just, you want it to be, I mean, you know, you want it to be Yahweh's words. I mean, that's what you cry out for. And I'll do the best I can. But I'm just humbled because I've been ministered more to already in this service than I was like, really? I'm supposed to say something? And so, but Yahweh, you be praised, and may your words be spoken today. And we give all glory and honor to you. And we glorify your name. May you be praised in everything that we do and say. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, it's kind of funny. This brother just kind of came over and spoke a couple of words to us. And, whoo, you have no idea. you have no idea. But today, the topic is it up there? Yep. See if I can work this handy dang gadget here. It's the gospel from the garden. And a couple of things. You know, when we were singing a song, that's why it's a little bit crazy. So forgive me if I choke up from time to time, but just bear with me, all right? We were singing a song just a little bit ago, and I was like, wow, that's my message. And it was, and I called, you answered, and you came to my rescue, and I want to be where you are. Sorry for the off key. I called, and you answered, and came to my rescue, and I just want to be where you are. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. It's even better than that. Because we didn't even know to call. He just said, here I am. You need to call on me because I have the answer. And it comes right from the garden. The main things that I want to talk today is, see, the gospel, the word gospel, and we're going to go through it in just a second, but the gospel really is, it's based in the Hebrew word basar. You guys, basar is flesh. We're going to talk about that. But the thing is, here's the thing. Our flesh has never been good enough. We have no hope in our own flesh. But Yeshua, Adam, and it started in the garden. We have examples all through Scripture. Adam was in the garden. Was his strength good enough? He failed because he didn't honor fully the seed, the word of Elohim, which is don't eat. Eat the tree of life. Don't eat from this mixed fruit over here, right? Yeshua was crucified from the foundations of the earth. Adam's flesh was not good enough, but Yeshua's flesh was. And that word basar ends up being like, and we're going to look at it, but it's a covering. It's like our skin, right? Our flesh. It covers, Yeshua's flesh covers our flesh. And then from then on, that's why this song is so crazy, because I called, you answered, and you came to my rescue even from before I knew it. And you covered my weaknesses. And now I just want to be where you are. And our struggle ever since Adam, see, this is the problem. When our flesh is too weak, when the messenger, well, I'm going to get ahead of myself. When our flesh is weak, God cannot abide with us. So Yeshua comes. He covers us and allows us to come back into his presence. And ever since Adam left the garden, it's been a striving to get back in. And Yeshua's ministry, there we go. Yeshua says, boy, I might have to just read from the screen because my eyes are old. Probably not a way to make this bigger, huh? I'll just read from there. Yeshua came and talked with them, and he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make people from all nations into Talmudim, immersing them into the reality of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you to do. And remember, I will be with you always, even to the ends of the age. It's kind of interesting. Yeshua was not one who said, do what I say, not what I do. He was a person who lived out everything fully. And so when Yeshua came on the scene, this is in Matthew chapter 4. This is at the very beginning of his ministry. What was he doing? From that time on, Yeshua began proclaiming, turn from your sins, for the kingdom of heaven is here or near. Yeshua went all over the Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. What is that? That's the good news of the garden. Remember the garden before we got kicked out? That's the good news. That place where our flesh was weak and his flesh was strong, that's the news he was proclaiming from the very beginning. Even before, he was like this traveling preacher. You know, sometimes we get this image of just Yeshua and all his disciples and going around and healing people. Now, he did here, too. Look, it says he preached the good news of the kingdom and healing people from every kind of disease and sickness. This is the gospel. Disease and sickness being gone. It sounds like you guys had an amazing week last week. Praise Yahweh. Because that is the kingdom of God is near. Scripture says in Exodus 23, if you have your scriptures, you can look that up right now. I think it's 23, starting in verse 25. Here we go. This is about when he's going to bring them into the kingdom. He says, you are to serve Yahweh your Elohim, and he will bless your food and your water. Your food and your water, first. He will take sickness away from you. In your land, your women will not miscarry or be barren. You will live out the full span of your lives. Does that sound like life in the garden? Does that sound like the kingdom of Elohim? This is what followed Yeshua. This is what's supposed to follow us. Now, we're seeing a little bit of it here and there, aren't we? Just like it sounds like you guys experienced last thing. Pay attention. The kingdom of Elohim is near. And we experience that when we as a community come more and more into following and supporting and encouraging that pure seed or his word. See, that's what got Adam kicked out of the garden, isn't it? It's because he wasn't faithful to the word of Elohim. And Yahweh said, look, you're my messenger, specially chosen to, what was Adam's job? To tend and to keep the garden. What does that mean? To tend and to keep the seed. What is the seed? The word of Elohim. And when Adam failed to do that, I'm sorry. Look at all the prophets in Scripture. I mean, especially like, it was like really poignant when he spoke to Elijah. If you don't say exactly what I say, basically you're toast, right? Well, when Yahweh chooses us, he expects us to be faithful to his word. And this is called tending and keeping the garden. because that's where the word comes from. Okay, so it's going to get interesting here. Well, I think it is. Let's go back one to you are to make disciples. It says, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. You know, I love the church. I was raised up in the church. I got saved, if you will, in the church. And so I love what the Father has done through them and with them. But we all make mistakes, don't we? We all have things that we need to correct along the way. And Yahweh has times and seasons that He brings His people to the right place, where He wants them to be, to portray and to get out His word. And the church has been very good at going out into all the world and preaching, right? And they've been preaching that you're saved, that you need that flesh, that covering of Yeshua to cover your sins, right? To cover your shortcomings. What they haven't been super good at is teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, right? So if that is part of the gospel, I guess my issue is, wow, there's some work to do. There's still a lot. If you can imagine all through the last couple hundred years, the work that the church has done, it's like we got to redo that. There's still a lot to do to go out and preach the full gospel and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you to do. I take that responsibility very seriously, and I know you do too. This is why you're raising your children up to be blessed, to not let anything come against them. Some of the words that were spoken here is that they will always do right, okay? These are those things that we have to do because we have a mission, a co-mission. We are co-mission with the saints. They got that right. They just forgot the teaching them to do everything that I've commanded you to, right? We have a mission, and it's just as strong now, if not more, than ever before. So how are we going to do that? And this is the part where, you know, I feel like even the ministry that we do, Growing in Torah, has come in, and it's about making disciples. And so, anyways, let's look a little bit at just the word gospel. I alluded to this earlier. We're going to go through this real quick, this part of it. I don't know, is there a clock? There's a clock, 11:30, and what time do I need to be done? Okay. All right. So I got 5 minutes. okay. So this is a Greek gospel. We're trying to get the word gospel back into the Hebrew, right? So gospel in Greek, and I can never pronounce this right, Evangelion, in the Strong's, a good message, to announce good news. We all know that. Good tidings of the kingdom. A reward for good tidings. And theological says news of victory. So a guy goes out to war, and the army's out there, and the guy coming back to the king, and he's got good news. We have the victory. Wow, that's the gospel. That's good news, right? Woohoo! All right, party. So we move on from there. If you transfer that, the same words to the getting to the Hebrew is Basara. And glad tidings. Reward for good news. Flesh. Well, that's interesting. Flesh. I kind of mentioned that earlier. Good tidings. Reward for good news. Flesh. Theological word book of the Old Testament. To bring good news. Or flesh. Inclines to bear good tidings. Flesh. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that just, I mean, who would have thought, right? It just doesn't, in my head, if you just look at it, it doesn't make sense. But what is this? Okay, let's find out. So, this is, the root word is basar. That's the root of basara, basar, right? So, Hirsch, to cover with sensitive coating. That's what I was talking about, that covering, right? or skin or flesh. Benner is more concrete. Jeff Benner, you guys familiar with Jeff Benner? Okay, very good. He usually brings the more concrete so flesh, good news, or good. When good news is brought, a feast with meat is prepared. Isn't that interesting? So you can imagine in ancient times especially, what did Abraham do when the three visitors came up? Go slaughter the fatted calf. Remember the parable of the prodigal son? When the son came back, what was the first thing that he said? Go slaughter the fatted calf. This is good news, right? And so good news is always associated with a feast where meat is prepared. Hey, we ain't just eating vegetables tonight. We're going to have some meat, right? That was my best Southern accent I could do. My wife is from Mississippi here, so I've got a little, yeah. Okay, so good news, let's eat. That's basically what it says. So I'm going to take you to Revelation 19, which is a really great news. It says, then I heard what sounded like the roar of a huge crowd, like the sound of rushing waters, like loud peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah! Adonai Elohim of heaven's armies has begun his reign. Remember I said that guy went out to battle and he brought back good news of victory? This is that. Let us rejoice and be glad. Let us give him glory, for the time has come for the wedding of the Lamb. His bride has prepared herself in fine linen, bright and clean, has been given her to wear. Then the angel said to me, write, how blessed are those who have been invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Then he added, these are God's very words. The wedding feast of the Lamb. Yeah, I know if you guys are do Sukkot like we do, but we eat a lot. And, you know, at our Sukkot, there's fire pits like till 3 in the morning, and people are cooking up food and passing it around, and it's just this constant, you know, of, wow, we go to different camps, see what they got. Right? And it's just, it's food, it's rejoicing. So there's kind of two sides to this word, basar, right? It's, yes, that covering, but it's also that good news of celebration that we eat and we sit with the Father. The other part that you didn't know that you did, but you did. My life verse is Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And part of that is the end, that feast. Seek first the kingdom of Elohim. Seek for the garden. Seek for that place. Because all these things will be given to you as well. And the great part is that Yeshua made a way with that covering. So praise Yahweh. All right, so, yeah. So the gospel is the restoration. When I say restoration, it's really the restoration to the garden. We have a covering for our flesh in Yeshua, the second Adam. By his work, we can be restored to the garden, the kingdom of Elohim, or at the very best, it's a picture of it, right? So the fruit of the tree, because that's what Yahweh is all about. He's all about life. And the tree of life. The gospel, if you start looking at it and what we've said so far, it seems to always be connected with food, doesn't it? Well, lo and behold, what comes out of a garden? The garden is for one purpose. It's to grow food. And it's to feed people. All through Scripture, Yeshua talks, feed my sheep, right? He's talking about feeding people. Feeding people from the garden. That's why the garden itself is such an important part of who we are. Isn't it interesting in today's times how many of us, now I know you guys do here a little bit, Well, I don't know to what extent. I know some of you do a lot, okay? But isn't it interesting that in our lives, we have been taken out of the garden? Do you know that in 1800s, I'm going to say 1870 sticks in my mind, 1800, 70% of the U.S. population were in agriculture for their careers. In 1870, it was at like 50%. Do you know that in today's times, less than 2% of our population is in agriculture? Less than 2%. World population is growing. I'm going to see if I can get these. They're in my head, but get them out. World population is growing at an immense rate, so that in 2050, it will be increased by 75%. Well, let's think about that. Wait a minute. We're making food, or are the people who are involved in making food are less than 2%. Our population who needs food is growing at an immense rate. So what's going to happen? How are we going to feed them? Well, there's two things. Famine, very possibly one of them. The other one is government intervention, right? Everything is going away from the people. Now the government is wanting to direct the people. This is where you can find your food. You can't find it on your own little farms. You can come here to the social whatever, and here's where the food is. Is that what Yahweh teaches? Yahweh says the food is in the garden. Come to me for your food. All through Scripture. And I'm glad you brought up famine. Yahweh seems to use famine a lot to drive people to himself, doesn't he? What happened with Joseph? All Israel was saved because they had to go to the bread man of life, because he was the only one who had the food, right? So we see that happening all over in Scripture. So let's look at Scripture just a little. How many things, how many teachings in Scripture have to do with food? Well, you guys can think, I just wrote a few of them here. First of all, the two trees in the garden. And then even after that, the curse even had to do with food, didn't it? You will reap by the sweat of your brow. And of course, Joseph, which I mentioned, Yeshua, the bread of life, the temptation of Yeshua himself came down to, are you going to eat or aren't you going to eat? That simple. Yahweh created us with a design, and he put food in there. He could have made us, I think, where we would have, designed us where we just have all our nutrition just from soaking up the air, right? I mean, is that possible for Yahweh to have done? You bet. He could have done anything he wanted. But no, he made us so that we have to have food to exist. That was his deal. And we see it all through Scripture. So, even when they went to the promised land, right? What did they do first? Go and test. See what kind of food they have there, right? The promised land is also speaking of the promise. When we get saved, we are promised eternal life in the kingdom of Elohim. So whenever you see that, them going into the promise, that's a picture of us going into that kingdom. First thing you do is check for the food. Look to see if it's good food. And of course, they came back and there was like two clusters of grapes between them. That's a lot of food. That's speaking that the kingdom of God, the kingdom that you have promised, is above and beyond all that we can imagine. You know, this is why on the farm we only grow what they call heirloom seeds or heirloom vegetables and stuff, or open pollinated, but heirloom just means that it has been producing like kind for about 25 years, okay, to be considered heirloom. In other words, it has all the building blocks in that little seed to recreate the same life that was in it before. Hybrids, on the other hand, man kind of, you know, it's good food, it's good fruit, but man forces it together. And if you take that seed, it doesn't have the building blocks in it to reproduce that same kind. And so I tell my customers up at market, I says, now which do you want? The one that has the building blocks for life or the one that's dead after this? Right? It's kind of a no-brainer. I'll take the life, please. Right? Can't remember where I was going. Oh, yeah, so the bounty of Yahweh. So I remember years ago I was out in the garden with my kids and we split open a watermelon and we're eating it. And I just, you know, the old watermelon, you got lots of those seeds. Now, how many of you like eating seedless watermelon? Be honest. I mean, they're wonderful. They're sweet. That stuff is great. But there's no seeds. That watermelon has the ability to feed me and my house. That's it. But I showed the kids, look, this is the way Yahweh does things. I take this one watermelon, and it has the ability to feed this whole town. If I just plant the seeds of this one watermelon, I could probably feed our whole city. That's the way Yahweh does things. So we're talking about the two clusters of grapes. That's a perfect example. You know, two clusters. That's Yahweh. That's His kingdom. That's His promise. We need to do things His way, I think. It's better than our ways. Sometimes we get told, no, you can't do it that way. It's just not going to work. I was talking to my kids live in Iowa, and there's, you know, the farms there. If you, there's a brother up there. I don't know, help me, sweetie, the doses. Does anybody know the doses? Yeah, okay. I was talking up there. He's got 600 acres. Okay, I've got 10 acres, you know, on my little farm. And he says, yeah, you know, unless you have about 1,000 acres, you're just not going to make it up here. Are you kidding me? That's the place where we have come to? Anyways, he switched over from conventional farming to organic farming or natural farming. And everybody around him said, you can't do it. You can't do it. You won't be able to make a living. Well, he's doing it. And Yahweh is blessing him. He's slowly transferring that 600 acres into organic. And he's training his son to take over from him. It's a beautiful thing. But the world tells us, no, you can't do it. You've got to, you know, act this way. You've got to do business this way. You've got to work on Shabbat. You've got to do all these things if you want to make it, right? But that's not right. Yahweh's ways are better than our ways. We just have to commit to it and keep after it because it'll turn out. All right. So why the garden? Let's take a look, a glance at the kingdom of Elohim. What's in the garden that Yahweh provides? I got one of these out of order a little bit. But so there's food in the garden, right? We already talked about that. There's peace in the garden. It's an interesting thing, that word peace. I got it up there. Peace is one of the, it's more than just no war, but no war is part of it, right? Look at the word war in Hebrew. Does anybody know Hebrew decently out there? A little bit? Few? Milchama. Yeah, milchama. What are the middle three letters in that word? Lechem. Have you guys ever heard the word lechem? That's bread, isn't it? Right in the middle of war is bread. How many wars do you think over the ages have been fought about food? A vast, vast, vast majority. Food's the most important thing. In fact, I'm going to talk about it in a little bit. One of the king's primary duties was to feed the people, make sure that the people had food. So, that's right in the garden. Yahweh's done that. Yahweh is the king. You guys know Rico Cortez, right? By the way, I talked to him last night. He said, say hello to everybody. Dina Dye? Okay, she's got a wonderful book out. Can't remember the title. Anyways, pick it up. It's about it's about the garden, and it's about that that is the place of the king. And Rico talks a lot about that the king were actually, you know, the gardeners, if you will, or the horticulturists, I think is what he says. And if they weren't, they put people in charge who did know, you know. And anyways, so let's keep going through this. So food, peace, and then right at the end of that is purpose. And then his presence was in the garden, right? Deuteronomy 28, if you want to. Deuteronomy 28 is a beautiful passage. It's about all the blessings. Deuteronomy 28. If you listen closely to what Yahweh your Elohim says, did Yahweh tell Adam and Eve to listen closely to his instructions? To make sure that they didn't touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Just to eat from the tree of life? He did. All right? Well, it looks like he's saying it again in Deuteronomy 28. It says, if you listen closely to everything Elohim says, observing and obeying all his mitzvot, which I am giving you today, Yahweh Elohim will raise you high above all nations on the earth, and all the following blessings will be yours in abundance. A blessing on you in the city, a blessing on you in the countryside, a blessing on you in the fruit of your body, the fruit of your land, and the fruit of your livestock, the young of your cattle and flocks, a blessing on your grain, and your grain basket and kneading bowl, a blessing on you when you go out, a blessing on you when you come in. Yahweh will cause your enemies attacking you to be defeated before you. They will advance on you one way and flee before you seven ways. Yahweh will order a blessing to be with you in your barns, that's food, right? In your barns and in everything you undertake. He will bless you in the land Yahweh your Elohim is giving you. Yahweh will establish you if you will observe the mitzvot of Yahweh your Elohim and follow his ways. And this is why Yeshua went around preaching and telling his disciples to teach them to do everything that, to be in a walk in obedience, to walk in obedience. It's because these are the blessings that will follow us. And when we as a community do that more and more, we will continue to see more and more of these blessings. But it does, I believe, takes a community to do it, which is what is so cool about your fellowship here. We're walking in obedience together. Right? What does Scripture say later on if there's a community near you who is following after other gods and all that kind of stuff? You can't let that happen. Right? So my point in saying that is not that we need to go to the next town's, you know, church and burn it down. It's that Yahweh is teaching us that it is as a community that we walk in his ways. All right. So, and this is obviously, it's obvious to me, that this is the kingdom of Elohim. What he's describing in Deuteronomy, what he's describing in Exodus 23, is the kingdom of Elohim. And that we can live it. And so when Yeshua came preaching that the kingdom of Elohim is near or here, he's saying, I'm here. I covered you. You can come back in, but you've got to commit. And you have to be faithful to the word of Elohim. So, go and do everything the way I've asked you to do it. So, again, why the garden? Well, and as I was mentioning, Yahweh's king, right? And his throne, I believe, was the garden. His original throne was the garden. Now, it's interesting. What is the job of a king? It's to take care of the people. It's to make good laws that will protect the people. And one of the main purposes, one of the main ways he does that is to send his messages, his edicts, if you will, out to the people, right? And it has to be followed exactly. I mean, you've seen the movies and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, the little guy on the horse goes out and they take the little scroll and they tack it to the barn wall and all the people are to read it, right? This is a message from the king. And those knights are the, what did they call them? The messengers that went out in the, like the medieval. What's that? Yes, the herald. Thank you very much. The heralds would go out and they would herald, they would speak it, they would read it, they would post it. The words of the king, right? The words of the king. So Yahweh is on his throne in the garden. He's telling Adam to tend and to keep my word. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eat from the tree of life. So he had Adam in the garden. Oops, wrong one. Oh, no. Oh. Okay. There we go. So why did Elohim put man in the garden? Because he chose man to take his seed, his fruit, his word, the good news, to the four corners of the earth. That's what was Adam's job, is to be that herald, to be that messenger to the world of the words and the goodness of Elohim. There's some pretty cool stuff about how he did that. So, how are we going to do that? Yeshua instructed them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We are supposed to, you know, we read it in Matthew 28, you know, about sharing the gospel and you know, teaching them to walk and obey. But it's to the ends of the earth. And that's what I kind of started out saying. Have we done that yet? We've done it partially, but not the full gospel. Not teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. So, switching gears just a little bit here. So we know Adam's job. It was to be the messenger of the gospel of the kingdom, right? It's to take the good fruit, the seed, the word of God to the four corners of the earth. So let's switch to, you know, looking at our gardens. What does it take to run a farm? Anybody? What does it take to run a farm? It takes land, soil, water, seed, sunshine, labor. Excellent. These are all exactly what you need to run a farm. You do all that too. Yeah, hunger will drive you to do a lot of things. Praise Yahweh. Okay, so let's see if I can do this right. So you got that one. Farmer. We need a farmer. You need labor. Somebody said labor. You need a farmer. Okay, what else? There we go. You need land. Somebody said land. You do need tools. Somebody said sun, water. Seed, I heard seed out there, doing really good. I don't think I heard this next one, but maybe. You need transportation, because you got to get it out there, right? You got to get it out to the community. That's an interesting one, because we're going to come back to that in a little bit, all right? Because in a minute, I'm going to share with you what I believe is God's six-step plan to feed the world. You guys want to hear that? Six-step plan to feed the world. It's right there in Genesis chapter 2. Okay? Has to do with these right here. All right. And you need a farmer on the land. That should have been right after farmer. You need the farmer, and then you need the farmer on the land. You got to get the two together, right? It's no good to have a farmer who wants to grow and has no land to do it, right? So you need to put the two together. And you need some help. And that was this gentleman's about labor. You need help. You got to have all those things. If you want to, I know you grow, but it's hard. It is hard. It's hard work, but you know what? The more, the merrier. Many hands make light work, right? And it is definitely true on farming. You know, you'd look at the story of Ruth and Boaz. The reason they were sleeping on the grain floor is because they worked until they couldn't see anymore. And then as soon as the sun came up, they started working again, because that's what it takes to get the harvest in. And nowadays, we run to the grocery store and we get whatever we want and we don't think about it. But back then, it was your life. That's why if the king couldn't provide food, the king is in serious trouble. We were watching some movie the other day, and it was set back in like the Middle Ages and something. And all the people are gathering together. You know, it's like that, was it Queen Elizabeth, when she said, oh, give them cake? You remember the story? It was about food. The people were rising up because they had no food, right? Times don't change. What do we do in today's times? Well, it's good. I mean, I like some of our social programs. They get abused. But we want to feed people. We want to make sure people have the food. But it shouldn't be the government's job to do it. It should be our job to do it, right? Helping one another. Anyway, so these are some of the things you need in the garden. All right, here we go. Okay, here is the Creator's plan to feed the world. To feed the world. And I like to say it, whenever we talk about food, we're talking about, again, the gospel, that meat, the word of Elohim feeds us. That's who really, truly feeds us. So, step one, Genesis. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. In verse 7, and there it is. We said we needed a farmer. That was step one, right? What does it take to grow a farm, to have a farm? Well, you need a farmer. And also, Yahweh made man. So, that's our farmer. Genesis 2, 7 says, then Yahweh Elohim formed a person from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life so that he became a living being. Okay? And I got it, again, a little out of order, but I don't. There we go. Step 2, Genesis 2, 8 says, Yahweh planted a garden, right? We needed to plant. We need land toward the east in Eden. And there he put the person who he had formed. Okay? Put the man in the garden. I probably should have swapped those and put that in step 2 and 2 and 3. So, but he put the man in the garden. And he trained him to cultivate and care for it. That was the tend and the keep, right? He put man there. His purpose was to tend and keep the garden. So, make man, plant a garden, put man in the garden, and tell him to tend and to keep it. That's three steps. Yahweh causes the food to grow. That's all him. We don't do anything in it except do our job is to tend and to keep. But that was step, and that's in Genesis 2, 9. I guess let's read it since we're here. And it says, out of the ground, Yahweh Elohim caused to grow every tree pleasing in appearance and good for food. Okay? Develop a transportation system. Well, this is the one I was talking about. Isn't that odd? You got to get the food to the people. Did you know that's in Scripture? What is the main way throughout history that produce and goods have moved across the world? Water, right? Rivers and oceans. And looky, looky. Genesis chapter 2, verse 10. A river went out of Eden. To water the garden, and from there, so it came in, it watered the garden, and then from there, where did it go? It divided into four streams. Have you ever heard the phrase, the four corners of the earth? Yeah, it's right there. It's Yahweh's transportation system to get the word, the tree of life, to the nations. And step 6, Genesis 2, 21 through 24. Then Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall upon the person. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the ribs and closed up the place from which he took it with flesh. The rib which Yahweh Elohim had taken from the person, he made a woman person. And he brought her to the man person. Sometimes we read in the Scripture, it says, help me. Right? He's making more farmers. Y'all ladies didn't know you were farmers, did you? Well, your man is the farmer, but so are you. You're together. That's another thing you're talking about. One of the things he says, sometimes my wife is stronger than I am. And it's true. Sometimes different ways, but she is there along with me. So this is, I believe, Yahweh's six-step plan to feed the world. Right there. Make a man. Put him in the garden. Plant a garden. Cause the fruit to grow. He developed a transportation system, and he made a helper that even had the ability to make even more farmers. Have you ever heard Brad's teaching about good and very good? Adam wasn't very good. Adam was just good. It wasn't till Adam and Eve came together to produce life, just like the tree, life. Once they produced life, they were very good, right? And that's what we need to be doing, is producing life. And sometimes we can't do it on our own. That's not how we were designed. We have to have others to help us to do that. Have you guys, I've mentioned it before, you know, men are trees. Mark chapter 8, I think, verse 10, it said the guy, Yeshua healed a blind guy, but he only healed him part way. And he says, well, what do you see? And he says, I see men, but they look like trees walking. And then Yeshua touched him again, it says. And then it says, then he saw everything clearly or distinctly. I think Yeshua wanted him to see men as trees. And if we will do that, sometimes we need each other. If I can take my brother, and he might be going through a struggle, and I say, instead of knocking him down, instead of, what in the world were you thinking? Say, wonder if that tree needs a little more water. I wonder what I can do as the farmer that will help that, my brother. That's why I really appreciated this sister's words about here comes trouble. No, here comes blessing, right? Oh, wow. They say, so I go walking up there. Oh, my gosh, here comes blessing. I mean, isn't that crazy? But isn't that how we ought to be treating one another? A farmer looks at a tree and says, how can I get my plants to produce to their maximum potential? And it's tied to even our finances, right? Because he wants us to really want to make our plants be healthy and grow and things like that, right? So we need to be treating each other like trees, but that's a little side story here. Okay, I'm getting real close. So let's look at that river, that transportation system, if you will, and what a river actually is. So rivers and ocean water has always been and are still one of the primary systems for transportation throughout the world. We have a couple of sea crates. You guys see, even if you go look online at ports of entry, they had these massive, I mean massive ships stacked with these big, huge metal storage containers. The waterways are still the main transportation of goods throughout the world. No questions, hands down. Interesting that the River of Eden split into four corners of the earth. Nahar, the word Nahar, that's river in Hebrew. Nahar means to flow, shine. It's a river, flow, lighten, like sparkling, flood or flood, that which brings life. So if I get a sea crate that's full of really yummy things, I'm like, wow. That waterway just brought me life, didn't it? Okay? That's the river. That which brings life. Benner says, the life-giving water that washes over the soil. Revelation 22. Again, back when we're really celebrating, this was the Revelation 19 was I read earlier about the great feast. Revelation 22, verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright, crystal, flowing from the throne of Elohim of the Lamb. Didn't I say that the garden was the original throne room of Elohim. And out of that throne came his words, came the life, came the river. And we see that happening right here. It's almost like this is a time when we're restored. I think it might be. Through the middle of the street, the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. I'm telling you, everything comes from the garden. It comes from the garden. On a kind of a side note, let's go there. 1 Kings. Let's see if I... It's just kind of an interesting little thing here. 1 Kings chapter 4. This said, each had its 12 kinds of fruit yielding in season. I talked about the king's job was to provide food. Look at 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 7. I love this part because it says, Shlomo had 12 officers over all Israel who were in charge of providing food and supplies for the king and his household. Each one was in charge of provisions for 1 month out of the year. This says there's a tree of life that has 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. That's kind of interesting. Both are in charge of providing fruit and food each for 1 month. How many tribes of Israel are there? Was Israel supposed to be the light of the world, taking the food, the message of Elohim throughout the world? Is that a coincidence or am I crazy? It's pretty cool, isn't it? Anyways, all right. So, this is kind of the part of the GIT thing, growing in Torah. This is part of my vision. I think we can take that six-step plan of Elohim and actually do something with it. I mean, you know how literal Scripture can really be. And when we walk it out, when we do it, we just see blessing, don't we? We just see blessing. So, and this is kind of a fun part because it's been my, you know, I'm a very simple person. When I read something, I really do believe it. And I've found that to the extent that we walk in the commands, it's to that extent that we are blessed. If I'm going to walk in the commands just a little bit, I'm going to get blessed just a little bit. Now, sometimes Yahweh is very gracious. And he wants us to call on him even more. He'll continue pouring blessings out even when we don't sometimes. But I really believe that we just walk in what he says. Then we'll see those things of Deuteronomy 28, Exodus 23 come to life. So step one, Elohim made man. There they are, a bunch of GIT students. And they planted a garden. They put them in the garden. So here the students are planting the garden. They're getting the soil prepped and ready. They're putting coverings on to get the temperature right so you can plant even earlier to tend and to keep the garden. The coverings that you see them putting on there, they're for mostly weed control. It's part of tending and keeping the weeds out, keeping the enemy out. You know, I'm going to a little bit go back a little bit on this because, yes, the covering is for keeping the weeds out. But even if they didn't put the covering on, even if they didn't protect the garden, if they would have just continued to be faithful to the word of Elohim, they can still grow and produce fruit. What I'm saying is, I don't know if you can catch it, even if HaSatan would have come into the garden and Adam remained faithful to the word, the outcome still would have been life. You see what I'm saying? Being faithful to the word, being faithful to the seed, the tree of life. Okay, so that was step one and two, make man, put him in the garden, right? Step three was, plant a garden. Step one was make man and plant a garden. And then step three, put the men and women in the garden. There's some of our students learning how to keep bees, tend produce, tie up tomatoes up that top right. They're tying up tomatoes. How many people here know how to tie up tomatoes? How many people like tomatoes? Oh, a lot more of you. The more you learn how to tie up tomatoes, the more good tomatoes you get. All right. Step four, Elohim causes it to grow. Isn't that beautiful? I love that site. Just everything's nice and green. Develop a transportation system. There are our students going into the community. And you know, right behind them there, you can't see it in this picture, but right behind them we have a big banner that says Growing in Torah, you know, up there because that's the name of the ministry. And it's kind of neat. They get put right in the front of the community. Torah, what's that, right? Well, and it forces them to defend their faith. It forces them to say, hey, Torah is the word of Elohim from Genesis to Revelation. And we believe that we should follow it, you know. And it just, it's a cool thing, just the public. And, you know, it's kind of interesting as I go around and talk and people ask me, you know, what do you do? And I tell them we're a ministry that teaches young adults scripture through farming and farming through scripture. Everybody, I don't care, Christian, it doesn't matter. They go, really? That is so cool. Tell me more about it. Or I have a lot of people that ask me, well, how do you teach? A lot of times it's, how do you teach farming through scripture? A lot of times I talk to them about the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil and about using only pure seed. Yahweh doesn't want us mixing things, but just using pure seed, right? So, and they go, wow, it breaks down a lot of barriers. It's not like, oh, you're changing our ways. No, it's like, oh, yeah, that's natural. Just like keeping the commands, it's natural. All right. Okay. And then step six was to make more farmers. And I don't know if you can read the caveat. That's actually my daughter. I was really hoping they would be here today so you can meet them. But the guy on the right, that's my son-in-law. And he's our farm manager now. So yippee-ki-yay. And so step six, Elohim made a counterpart. And results may vary if you come to Growing in Torah. Just that little caveat there. But it has happened. And just so you know, we have a strict no dating policy at the campus. So, anyways, so last couple of little things. So my vision, and yes, there's a spiritual side to all of these things, right? There's physical and spiritual. We know that all through Torah. But my vision is to train farmers both spiritually and physically, to walk by the example of Yeshua, the original farmer, to feed the nations with the tree of life. We have a big job, part of that commission. We have a big job to fulfill the commission of Matthew 28 to take the gospel of the world, teaching them to obey all that he has commanded and to be Josephs to the world, because like this young lady said here, a famine is coming. A famine is already here spiritually. Look at what's going on in the world. There's crazy stuff happening that you wouldn't have thought in a million years. People walking around and saying, I identify as a woman today and I identify as a man tomorrow. I mean, that's just one little thing. The stuff we're being barraged so fast and furiously that we don't even have time to understand the first thing because we're so amazed by it. Homosexuality is rampant these days, even in the church. We have a huge job ahead of us, folks. And it starts by being faithful to the seed, being faithful to the word. And, you know, part of our goal is to train up our young people. And young people, if you're out there listening, I don't know if any of this has sparked your interest. But again, back to the king, the work in the garden, I hope you understand, is the work of the king. And when we are called to feed people, when we are called to take the gospel, it's the message of the king. It's an extremely honorable position to be entrusted by the king to be his example, to be his words to the nations. And we take that seriously. I don't think that our lives should revolve around our careers and Yahweh's word be secondary. It's opposite of that. Our lives should revolve around him and his word, and our careers should be in order to get that done. You know, my son-in-laws, when they married my daughters, I told them, you know, your work, your career, that's secondary. Your job is to love your wife. Your work is how you do it. And that's what we need to, that's the way we need to look at our relationship with the Father. And so part of growing in Torah is, yes, some of our young men and women go on to, there's a guy in Texas, he's a nurse now. He was on the farm, is Elijah. He was on the farm and he was working with, he was always so caring for the animals and things. He's just, I don't know, and I told him, Elijah, I said, have you ever thought about like being a veterinarian or something like that? Because, you know, one of the main things that young people want to know is, you know, who am I going to marry and what am I going to do for the rest of my life, right? And that's the two main questions. And the answer lies in him. And so to take an opportunity to set aside, even if there wasn't a farm or anything, although I think a farm is a wonderful place to do it, but just to take the time to focus on your relationship with Yahweh. You might be the absolutely, you know, when I was a kid, when a freshman in high school, I was the president of the Christian club on campus. I've been in ministry all my life, but it wasn't until, so it wasn't like this nominal Christian type of guy, right? But it wasn't until I really got to the farm and starting to see the things the way the Creator does things. So I tell young people, if you want to be an engineer, that's fantastic. Come to the farm and see how Yahweh engineers a grapevine. You want to be an artist? That's great. We need artists. Watch a few sunrises and sunsets and see how the Father paints, right? Any number, any career. So anyway, this Elijah, he's now a nurse in Texas. Praise Yahweh, right? He's helping people. He's blessing people. Anyways, okay, I'm really almost done.
Okay, growing in Torah, growing the next generation in character, humility, and leadership through the biblical instruction of farming.
Every word in your Bible is based upon agriculture. But see, particularly in our culture, we've got a disconnect with that now. We don't have an association with the land anymore so much as we used to. But our Father knows that. So he's doing this little thing called restoration. He's restoring all things through the ministry of Elijah. And one of the things he's restoring is getting us back to the land.
Growing in Torah is really a means to use, getting your hands dirty out in the field to teach some of the basic principles and, I'd have to say, some of the really deep principles, spiritual principles in our life.
So what's this here? That's okra. It's everywhere in the field. This is leftovers from last year's crop. This is one pod off of a plant that has produced, I don't know, hundreds of pods. And every single one of these seeds has the same potential to do just what that first one did. And that's the way the Father creates.
GIT started out about 4 years ago when the Father gave Brian the vision of opening up our home and our property, our lives, just to any young adults who would want to come and learn about organic farming, learn Hebrew, learn the biblical aspects of agriculture.
It's not a coincidence, growing in Torah, even the word Torah itself, is a word that traces back to rain being cast out of the clouds to water the field, to produce much fruit so we can live. Even the word itself, the word word, we use that word a lot. Well, what's in the word? What does the word say? What about the word? I only do what the word says. What does word mean? Word is a Hebrew word that refers to a pasture, a place to find food. The source of food is actually what the agricultural background of the word for word is, apostles. Apostles in the Bible are words that mean little sprouts that come out from the ground.
To me, one of the most powerful things of this program is teaching young people that, first of all, they got to give of themselves, but then they also have to receive from others of their selves. And it causes them to learn how to live as a cohesive group, and with the understanding that this is all for the honor and glory of the Father, to establish His name. This is not for self-promotion. It's not for self-sacrifice. It's for the simple fact to establish His name here on this earth.
The Torah-centric program spans the growing season from spring planting through the fall harvest, which gives these young adults the opportunity to experience the cyclical nature of farming. On one level, this is a study in the how-tos of agriculture, but below the surface, this program is about preparing for adulthood.
The humility and the servanthood, I think, are one of the main characteristics that a young man or a young woman can really develop by going out, digging in the dirt, caring for a plant, caring for a tree, caring for them just like we would want to care for our brothers and our sisters.
The most important thing to me as I was doing the GIT program was the hard work that was involved and the sense of accomplishment you get and the growth that you do receive and the blessing that you get from working hard.
GIT really drills in humility and working. Like, it's hard to be a really proud person when you're on your hands and knees in the mud, digging through stuff and planting things and tending to little plants.
Jim Lara, whose daughter Rebecca spent a season at Growing in Torah before heading off to college, told us how his family saw how the program had changed his daughter.
When she came home, she had developed this ethic and this work habit of being diligent and working hard. And now that she's in college, she works really hard, and I can see that she's applied a lot of what she's learned at GIT in her life at home. Just her whole attitude and everything about what she learned here was translated into a more mature and loving person than before she came. And we all realized it, and we're blessed because of it.
One of the greatest challenges that GIT faces right now is just establishing sufficient dorms, sufficient dining space, classrooms, food preservation areas.
With all the growing that's gone on, the program is looking to expand its facilities.
Tell me about your vision here for the GIT setup.
Well, as you drive in, me right over here, the first thing you're going to see is an administration office, which would be right behind me back here. You come up, and then all down this side and over on that side, you're going to see housing. Some of it's going to be dorm housing, student housing, and volunteer housing. And in this large area right here, there's going to be a really cool, like a picnic area, a place to come and hang out under some shade trees, have a barbecue, and enjoy the day. And then at the end of this area is going to be our main kind of a place where it's going to be the community hub. There's going to be the kitchen in there, a large multi-purpose room, a cafeteria, and then the classrooms are going to be in there as well. And then beyond that is where the agriculture, where the actual farming takes place. And in the back, there will be a pasture for chickens. And then we're going to have a tool area and a wine room to be learning how to make wine and making wine. The root cellars for preservation and the wine cellar to, you know, store the wine that we're making. So that's kind of, in a nutshell, the vision for what you're going to see. Right now, it's a bunch of dirt and a few greenhouses, but here in a very short time, I really think we're going to see all these things in place.
This program is unique. It's a university dedicated to the Father. It's a life experience dedicated to teaching His ways and His Torah to our young adults, to build servants and leaders.
I really want to exhort you to be a part of something that is literally producing fruit. Not just saying it's producing fruit, but literally producing fruit.
With your help, a young man or a young woman will learn character, humility, and leadership through the biblical instruction of farming. And you will know how it feels to give these young people a solid foundation for the future.
In the end, like, all that Yeshua really calls us to do is just follow after Him. So I think it's really important to till the soil in your own heart and plant good things.
I mean, that was my daughter right there. Very proud of her and all my kids. But again, you know, it's about propagating pure seed. Taking that seed, the message of Elohim, to the nations. If there are any young people in here who maybe this has pricked your heart and you've thought, hey, you know, this is something I'd like to do. I'd love to talk to you. You know, we've got big plans, big dreams, right? A lot of that, you know, the building, whole stuff. We're about ready to start building our first dorm. Praise Yahweh. Yeah, you wouldn't believe the things that have come together to cause this to happen. But it's amazing what the Father is doing. You know, when Joseph had this dream, he was called up by Pharaoh, wasn't he? And it was big. You know, he said he put storehouses in every city, and the people from all over the known earth would come to him. I would love to put GITs all over the world. And, you know, establish the coats. Establish whatever. So every time people were hungry, they knew where to go. You know, that's where the food is. That's where the garden is. That's where the food is. So keep them. I've got one more 1-minute video just for you young people to show a little bit of what life on the farm is like. A little bit more than last. It's 1 minute and 2 seconds. Okay, so. Thank you guys so much. Thank you for letting me come and share with you. I hope there are some things there that you were encouraged to be faithful to the word, and that Yahweh wants to use us, just like He used Adam, to take the gospel, that seed, out into the world. So, shalom, shalom. Thank you very much.